Welcome to The Omnibus Show, a programme for people who are interested in everything, with deep conversations on a wide variety of subjects. And now, your host, Dave Gibbs.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of The Omnibus Show, the programme for people who are interested in everything, with a wide variety of subjects. Our guest today is Elliot Mason, from Mason & Sons in London. Elliot's a British entrepreneur who is the co-founder of Mason & Sons, who are renowned for their embodiment of the quintessential British lifestyle. Alongside his father, David, they have spearheaded the revitalization of several historic brands, notably Anthony Sinclair, who is the original tailor for James Bond, Mr. Fish, Modelux, Pope and Bradley, and more recently, they have a multi-brand boutique curated by them called the Ocularium there in London. Elliot, welcome. It's great to have you with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me along.
Well, fabulous. Thank you. Thank you so much. And, we'll start off. And could you please tell us about your journey into the haberdashery of life, and how you started off and got involved in Mason & Sons.
Yeah, absolutely. It'd be a pleasure. Growing up, I think I first started going into the workrooms and cloth merchants on Savile Row probably when I was 5 or 6. When I wasn't at school, mm-hmm. I was with my father, and we would have to either wait in the car while he went to and pick something up, or we would go in and say hello to the people he worked with. So I was around it for a very young age. And I always had an interest in clothing, because growing up, all of my school friends would always comment on what my dad was wearing. And it had an impact on me, you know, all of my contemporaries noticing mm-hmm. that he was markedly dressed from others. And then I carried on my sort of school years, not really knowing what I wanted to do. And there was never any expectation for me to join the business. So I went through my schooling and went on to university, again, not really knowing what I wanted to do. So I did a business studies degree again, got to the end of university and still didn't really know what I wanted to do, but always had a love of fashion and style in general, but no real direction on where I would head on a career path. When I left university, I did some work with some recruitment agencies, some banking companies, some technology companies, and really it was a very good way of finding out what I didn't want to do, to be perfectly honest with you. Mm-hmm. So those were sort of very short-lived careers in those sectors. And around that time, so this would now be 10 years ago, or 11 years ago. Yes. My father had, a couple of years previously, had relaunched Anthony Sinclair, which was Sean Connery's tailor for all of his appearances as Bond. And he had a website, and on that website, he was selling some accessories, shirts, ties, and pocket squares. But he had got to a point where he didn't have time to look after his tailoring customers and also maintain and manage and operate the website. So it was quite good mm-hmm. timing. I just was between things, or was at a bit of a loose end. And he said, well, why don't you come and help me out while you figure out what you're going to do? And that was about 10 years ago now. So I'm still figuring out what I'm going to do. So that's how I eventually got into working with my father.
Well, that is fabulous. And your father David, he's synonymous with British style, as you are now yourself. Now you were on the northwest corner of Montague Square, and but he started out in Savile Row, correct?
Yeah, that's right. He started out in Savile Row working with different tailors, and before we got the lease on Montague Square, he was on Sackville Street, which is about, well, it's a stone's throw from Savile Row. And he was on Sackville Street for a number of years. And then we've been at 34 Montague Square now, I think, for 12 years.
Mm-hmm. And for those who don't know, that's in Mayfair. And Savile Row is the renowned historic street for men's tailoring in London. And it's influenced the whole world. And that is very interesting. Excuse me. Could you tell us about your location now? It has a story in its own.
It certainly does. And it was a complete accident that we ended up here, because my father was looking for another shop in Mayfair, preferably with some accommodation, as the his commute into London every day was quite long. And for a few months, he's tried to look for somewhere, and he had lots of different real estate agents sending him options, and nothing was quite right. And then out of the blue, one of them sent him an email saying, I found somewhere, it's not in Mayfair, it's not a shop, it's bigger than what you're looking for, but it's got an interesting story. And when he came around to have a look, they found a blue plaque, which is part of the Heritage Trust in the UK. And there's a blue plaque because John Lennon lived in the property, which was sort of music to our ears when we found out, and we immediately signed a lease, and then discovered that it was actually Ringo Starr's home. And he lived here at the time. Him and his first wife, Maureen, were pregnant with their son Zach Starkey, who is drumming with The Who now, and he was drumming with Oasis before that. And when Zach was born, Paul McCartney used it as a demo studio, because he was living with his girlfriend Jane Asher, who he met on the set of Alfie, because he was good pals with Michael Caine. And he wrote Eleanor Rigby here, and did early recordings of Eleanor Rigby here in the basement at Montague Square. And then Jimi Hendrix needed a place to stay, so Jimmy and his manager Chas Chandler, they both moved in, until they got kicked out for Jimmy's bad behavior, which is shocking, of course. And then John and Yoko moved in and lived on a diet of caviar, champagne and heroin while they were here, and shot the Two Virgins album cover here, which is at the time, I believe, the album cover was banned in the United States and had to be sold with a paper bag over it and a cutout of their faces, because they were both completely nude on the front of it. And then he got kicked out because there was a drugs bust here, and Ringo had to get rid of his lease because he was no longer allowed to sublet to any of his friends, and he wasn't allowed to play music till after five. So he thought that was rather boring, I assume, and got rid of it. And then a few years after we'd been here, one of our customers, Anthony Sinclair customers, came in and told us that Ian Fleming also lived on the same square when he left the military. So there's a nice Bond connection for us here too.
There is a Bond connection there. The author of the James Bond novels. Yeah, that's quite a history. You know, the thing about London, as I always tell people, is that you just walk down the street and you're like living in history that keeps going on, you know, with all these stories and so forth. So, and, you know, for business, that's great for marketing, but, and it also helps, you know, the whole branding idea. So that is so fascinating. Well, thank you, Elliot. Well, we're going to take a break right now, and we'll be back for chapter two of The Omnibus Show.
We'll be right back with the second half of today's Omnibus program, but first this message from our sponsor.
Experience live entertainment up close and personal at Feinstein's at Hotel Carmichael, a cabaret venue located at Carmel City Center, north of Indianapolis, Indiana. Named after multi-nominated artist Michael Feinstein, Feinstein's at Hotel Carmichael showcases unbelievable talent in a unique, intimate space. Previous talent includes Frank D'Ambrosio, the longest-running Phantom of the Opera, Tony nominee Jared Spector, and world-renowned Rolling Stone tribute band Satisfaction. Feinstein's is a traditional cabaret that allows patrons to have a great view of the stage from every seat in the house and able to interact with their favorite performers. Enjoy upscale dining before each show, prepared by their award-winning chef with monthly curated menus. And patrons can also partake in handcrafted cocktails developed by our own mixologists. On Thursday, Feinstein's features different varieties of acts. Be mystified by magician David Bernali with his hit-selling show, Deception. Enjoy a classic burlesque show or a comedy show. On Sundays, enjoy our brunch events like Jazz Brunch with singer Blair Clark. A venue perfect for all ages, for the young and the young at heart. Feinstein's is located in the gorgeous Hotel Carmichael, an immersive boutique hotel that celebrates the history of the great American songbook. A foundation dear to the heart of Carmel, a city trailblazing the growth of performing arts in the Indianapolis area. Your night doesn't have to end after a show at Feinstein's. The love of music sweeps out of the venue into Hotel Carmichael. Enjoy live music at the lobby bar, Adagio, or spend the night in one of the hotel's elegantly styled rooms. The next morning, dine in the approachable French eatery, Vivant. There truly is nothing else like Feinstein's at Hotel Carmichael. Visit Feinstein's to experience the intimate entertainment and luxury for yourself.
And now, back to the Omnibus Show.
Hello and welcome back to the Omnibus Show. We're here with Elliot Mason, who's in London, and we're in Chapter 2. Welcome back, Elliot. Now on to kind of your brands. You and your father are like British style and fashion. Can you tell us a bit about how British style and fashion has developed and why people love it so much?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for us, at least, the British style is so closely linked with popular culture. Mm-hmm. And that can be anything from the royal family to politicians to movie stars like Sean Connery or Michael Caine, or to rock and roll stars like the Beatles and the Stones. Mm-hmm. And that sort of has continued to today, I suppose, because maybe not so much with politicians, but with certainly with some members of the royal family, especially King Charles. He's incredibly stylish, mm-hmm. and you know, popular musicians today and film stars are also always under the microscope with what they are wearing. But the world has slightly changed in that regard, and the big fashion brands tend to have a lot of influence over pop stars today and movie stars. Yeah. Whereas for us, it's slightly more interesting, you know, looking back on things, especially in that sort of golden period in the 50s, the 60s. That's more interesting to us than what may or may not be happening on the sort of catwalks today.
Yes. Now, would you say, as I understand it, the Duke of Windsor is really the father of modern style. Would that be correct?
He certainly had a lot of influence on it, and even his father before him had a lot of influence, because it was actually, there is the Prince of Wales check fabric, which was made popular mm-hmm. by him, and then Edward, he was, for example, he had a lot of influence on modern fashion, and he was the first person, I'm told, who wore midnight blue instead of black with his dinner suit, and that became a trend that has continued to this day, and one that was taken up by Sean Connery as James Bond. And the first time we ever see James Bond in Doctor No, he's actually wearing a midnight blue dinner suit.
That's midnight blue, not black.
Exactly, yeah. If you can hear sirens in the background, hopefully they're not coming for me. And the royal family in general has always been, because I suppose mainly because they more photographs were taken of them and seen by the public than anyone else at a certain point in time before we all got on smartphones and things. So there's a few style signifiers of different members of the royal family. Mm-hmm. Which have continued to this day. And then for our work, we're more often than not looking at movie stars. And if even movie stars that may not necessarily be British, but they may have, or we may have seen a British influence in what they're wearing.
Mm-hmm. Well, most recently, you focused on Steve McQueen and the anniversary of that film he did in the late 60s.
Yes, the Thomas Crown Affair.
Thomas Crown Affair.
So that's interesting for us because he's wearing Douglas Hayward suits in that film. Douglas Hayward was a Mount Street tailor. Mount Street is very close to Savile Row. And Roger Moore and Michael Caine both were big customers of his. And again, in the film, he's wearing just a few examples. He's wearing when he's in the glider, he's wearing a Barracuda G9 Harrington jacket, another British brand. He's wearing a British boot brand where he's wearing suede boots with a crepe rubber sole on them. So that's an example of where there's been British influence in American films, even. And then a lot of those images of Cary Grant and Gary Cooper and Fred Astaire, some really iconic images that, you know, and often, not all the time, but often they are wearing Savile Row suits.
Mm-hmm. The Savile Row for so long has just been the definer of men's refined, you know, clothing.
And, absolutely.
Yeah. And, you know, as growing up, you were just mentioning Harrington. When I was growing up, Harrington, that's just like that was your typical spring jacket. Now, I didn't have a Barracuda, but that was that is the, you know, that's the definer.
The go-to jacket.
Yeah, the go-to, and it's the perfect spring jacket. That's very fascinating. You know, for those who are interested in style and say they wanted to come and get a suit or get some clothing, because you have many different items. What are some books that you would recommend for people to study, so if somebody wants to come and learn about that?
Well, there's a lot of different books that are easy to find that would give you a list of the different tailors and things like mm-hmm. that. But one of my personal favourites, well, there's two actually. There's two books about Winston Churchill. One is No More Champagne, and it was about Churchill and his money. And the other one is a book called Churchill Style. The reason why those are both very interesting is because they not only talk about his own personal style, but they go in depth and talk about the different places that he went, the different bootmakers he went to, the glasses makers, mm-hmm. the suit makers, his cigar merchants, his book merchants, his pen merchants, and they talk about those businesses, and most of them are still trading today, and most of them are in Mayfair. And the No More Champagne book is quite funny, really, because he lived a very, as I'm sure you're aware, he lived a very, very expensive lifestyle, but he his cash flow was not always positive. So he was always being chased for payments from the different suppliers he went to, and he would always have suits in production with his tailor that, you know, whilst the, and just chip away at the bill. And I think his bills at Berry Brother and Rudd, the wine merchants, and James Fox cigar merchants, I think he always owed them quite a lot of money as well.
So one day he's the prime minister and the next day he's Micawber.
Yeah.
from David Copperfield. Well, that is fascinating. So that's about on style. Do you have anything on fabrics that would be helpful for our listeners?
And that's slightly trickier because there are many different fabric mills, and it can be quite difficult to just go on a doing fabric research, because really you need to see the fabric in person in the natural light, and you want to feel the fabric in your hand as well. But again, for example, Holland and Sherry is the cloth merchant that we collaborate with on the Anthony Sinclair suits, because a lot of the suits that Connery wore were made using fabrics from Holland and Sherry. So the very famous, well, often sort of cited as the most famous suit in the world, is the three-piece Glen plaid mid-grey suit that Connery wore in Goldfinger when he was rolling in the hay with Pussy Galore. And that fabric was and is still made by Holland and Sherry. So they still weave that cloth for us, and other merchants as well. But they have a shop on Savile Row where anybody can go in and look at the tens of thousands of fabrics that they have on offer. Mm-hmm. And they're very helpful. And they do a broad range of cloths as well, which is fantastic.
That's amazing. Tens of thousands of fabrics. So there's a suit for every style and skin tone and for every season.
Absolutely.
That is fascinating. Now, for Mason and Sons, you have a global clientele. I'm just thinking that, and so therefore you're going to have a lot of people with the different sizes and a lot of coloring variation. Do you have any thoughts for our listeners on, choosing a suit in terms of coloring? Now, that's a big question, but I'm just saying, you know.
Yeah, it's quite a difficult question to answer, really, because there's many different things that come into choosing a cloth and choosing a cloth for the individual. So,
right.
Build can have a impact on whether a plain or different pattern suit can turn out for a customer. So some customers, we might suggest, don't select a certain fabric because it might not be the most flattering. But the same goes for, hair colour and every there's so many different ways of choosing cloths and so many different parameters to work in, so it's really down to the individual. So it's some customers will just choose a fabric because they want to wear that fabric and they're not too concerned about how it necessarily complements them or not. They just love the cloth, which is something I quite like about that. But then other customers will want to really analyze it to make sure that they look their absolute best. So there's different ways of doing it. It's quite difficult to suggest something, because just for an example, there's blue suits and there are blue suits. There's 50 shades of blue. Well, there's thousands of different shades, and so one blue might work for me and another blue might not. So midnight blue, for example, will wash me. I'm relatively pale, so a midnight blue suit would wash me out, so I would probably veer away from that for a lounge suit and choose something that's slightly softer and lighter in tone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll pick on myself, since I was a brunette like you for most of my life, but in the last several years, I've transitioned to my late father's silver color. And I'm talking about blue. I'm sporting an Anthony Sinclair today for you, which fits me perfectly. And it's a French blue, but there's a transition from going from dark brown to silver. just to pick on that, there's going to be color variant.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And my father's got silver hair as well. So in the he will wear dark and light gray suits and darker blue suits and mid blue suits, whereas in the spring and the summer, for example, I will wear more natural colors, beiges, browns, mm-hmm. things like that. So he would never wear those colors, but that because he were, you know, it wouldn't work well for him. But sure. For now, I've probably got a couple more decades left. They work for me until I have to retire them as well.
Oh, good. Good for you. I always liked reddish, dark red brown.
Mm.
You know, like you have the, well, like for what you show in the chukka boots, that kind of suede.
Yes.
I've always liked that, but then again, I've moved off of dark brown, so that might change. But I still like that, though. That's one of those things where you want to just stick with because you like the... You like the color. coming up, can you tell us about what's up for this year?
Mason absolutely. And Sons? Well, we are going to be adding more brands to our website, to the Mason and Sons website, which we are really keen to build that out into a destination for people who are interested in British style. So those will be telling stories and showcasing products and not just clothing, but automobiles, places to stay in London, places to eat in London. So it'll be a lot more informational. And then in all of our different
lifestyle.
Brands. Yes. Yeah.
So, lifestyle brand.
With all of our different brands, there will be more product that we'll be adding, and we'll be also in the next few months launching a new British eyewear brand as well. I say a new brand; it's an old brand that we're bringing back to life, which has some connection to the royal family. So we're quite excited about that one.
Well, that's fabulous. Well, best wishes to you and your father and the whole team.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for being with us today.
It's a real pleasure. Thank you. And I hope to see you soon.
I look forward to it. Well, that's it for today's episode of The Omnibus Show. Our guest today was Elliot Mason from Mason & Sons in London. We'd like to thank our sponsor, Hotel Carmichael. Today we're shooting from Feinstein's. We look forward to being with you on our next episode of The Omnibus Show.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Omnibus Show. If you enjoyed this program, please like, share, and subscribe to continue the conversation. For The Omnibus Show newsletter, please sign up at theomnibusshow.com.